This is Dave Pueblo. I'm in the studio with Anasha Cummings, and we're going to be talking for a minute about what's coming up at the City Council meeting on Thursday.
Good to be with you again. As mentioned, this City Council agenda is packed with a few really interesting things. It's the last council meeting of our first term on the council, and the current council, and going out strong with some projects we've been working on over the last couple of years. The big one I wanted to mention is starting the process of forming a CCA, which stands for Community Choice Aggregation. So this is a new structure that was enabled by New York State a couple years ago. It's a thing that's been really successful in other states. California's been doing a ton of work with it. Basically, what it allows is a municipality to take an active role in helping its population to negotiate and secure both a better price for electricity, but also a greener mix of electricity. And I'm looking forward to in the coming years really finding ways to use it to spur more development of local renewable energy. And that'll be sort of the next phase. But right now what we're doing is signing basically a handshake deal with an organization called the Municipal Electric and Gas Alliance, MEGA. They've been in this space for years, working with municipalities to negotiate their energy rates. And now this is now enabled by this new law. They're able to not just do that for the municipality itself, but for the citizens of the municipality as well. And so not only are we getting into this, there's 10 other towns and villages across the capital region that have already signed on to be part of this. And it looks likely that Albany and Schenectady may sign on as well. So we'll have between 50 and 80 households all working together to bid on energy supply, which will allow us to get greener energy for cheaper and not only save everybody money on their utility bill every month, but also be even greener than the grid if everything works out as planned. So this is just the start of that process. We're building that aggregation. We're aggregating all these different towns and municipalities to work together on this. And this is really sort of awesome and kind of first for me in the region is really having all these municipalities work closely together on these kind of things. And so often there's so much separation at the town lines. And so I think this will be a cool opportunity for us to work together on something like this. And also I think a core goal for me as a public official is to help people reduce their cost of living while raising their quality of life, right? And so this is definitely a big opportunity to help cut people's cost of living while doing some pretty significant steps towards reducing our impact on climate change. What CCA does is allows us to, so in New York, we have a deregulated power system. So National Grid owns and maintains the transmission lines that get the power to you. And then there's various authorities and agencies that help manage to make sure that there's always enough power for everyone, make sure that a new power plant goes up when it needs to go up, etc. But all the power plants are owned by private companies, third parties of various kinds. And the utility is not allowed to own those. And so what the utility does is goes out and buys power from everybody and then sells it to you. And you may know in New York, we're allowed to choose our own supplier. So it's like an ESCO is usually what people, those annoying people that knock on your door and tell you, you know, they want to see your utility bill and then sign you up for a new power supply. And sometimes can save you money, but often end up scamming people as well, unfortunately. Where maybe it's an initial savings, but then it starts going up and you end up paying more than you would have otherwise. And so there's need for some change in that deregulation. I think it's impacted people in some negative ways. But what this allows is rather than one person at a time negotiating with the energy companies to get a better rate, which you don't get a better rate negotiating one person at a time, we can take 80,000 people at a time and say, hey, if you want our business, you got to give us your best rate. And in the experience so far in New York State and in maybe in other states, about anything over 40,000 households, you can really start to beat National Grid's rates. And you know, when you can beat their rate, you can also start to beat how green they are. In theory, we could, and certainly any of these it provides more choice to the citizens. So right now on your bill, National Grid is your default option. And then if you want to do the research, you can find one of these third parties. What this will allow is the default option will be the CCA. But within that, you can also opt up or down within the CCA with a negotiated rate to say, hey, I'm willing to pay an extra couple cents and get 100% renewable.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, I just want the cheapest rate possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so within that CCA, we'll all have more ability to have a greener power supply. And then what that does is make sure people know that now there's people who are going to buy your power if you make green power. And so it incentivizes the development of more large-scale solar.
So this seems particularly relevant right now. I mean, for a lot of reasons, the pace of climate change is just yeah. kind of insane. And but there's still projects like Cricket Valley Energy that are, I mean, that's about to come online using fracked gas.
Yeah, it gives us more opportunity to have a say in where our power is coming from and the kind of power that we want to be buying. And it also gives us the purchasing power to do that in a meaningful way.
And what's the timeline on this?
So the way it's going to roll out, if this passes at the regular meeting, which I expect it will, and then other municipalities will also sign on, by January 1st, we'll know who's in within the region, and then we'll be able to start crafting an RFP collectively to get the best rate and the best renewable mix from various suppliers. That'll take place over the course of January, early February, and then simultaneous with that, there'll be a broad public education process where we make sure people know. We don't want to surprise people with, hey, your power bill is different. That's something we want people to know is coming and know the benefits of for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that education process finishes, it'll finish with the passing of a local law. And so we'll fully enable it and sort of simultaneous with that get responses back from the RFP and see what is actually available. So if it's a good deal and if it makes us a more sustainable city, then we can move forward with it. If they don't come back with a better deal for people, we can let it go and try again next time.
One of the things that different segments of Extinction Rebellion are doing is that they're demanding from their local municipalities to declare a climate state of emergency.
Yeah.
So it would seem that what you were just talking about, of course, would be something that the city could do to illustrate, you know, how they would take things on. But there must be other things as well in terms of, you know, transportation, both through the public buses and efficiency of buildings, and then also encouraging people to switch to electric vehicles and things like that. Are there any other things like that that are on the table?
Yeah, certainly there's work we're doing as a municipality on that front in terms of, you know, we have an existing 2-megawatt solar facility that provides about 20% of our municipal energy use. We're about to build another one, so we'll be up to about 40%, and then simultaneously reducing our municipal energy use by converting all of our street lights to LEDs, which will not only have a way better maintenance life and better lighting quality, but also obviously save a lot of energy. So looking forward to those sort of immediate actions. We got 4 electric vehicles for the city itself for code enforcement officers through a grant from New York State, investing in charging infrastructure, those things, absolutely. But yeah, you know, there's also the larger scale stuff. So there's a group called Joint Task Force on Sustainability and Climate Smart Practices in Community Planning. It's a long name, but basically it's a sustainability task force for the city of Troy that's been really working on these projects. We applied for a grant through that from New York State to do an inventory of citywide emissions so that we really know how to prioritize that work, right? Where are emissions coming from right now, and how can we, what are the low-hanging fruit and bigger projects we need to be thinking of over the next 10 years to get us there? Because it's going to take a lot of work. You know, I think our grid's going to need work. Our transportation infrastructure is going to need work. We're lucky that we're an old city that was built in a time when people liked urban density. That mm-hmm. helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It'll help with certainly with transportation as we develop a more rich mix of uses in our downtown and throughout the neighborhoods so that people really can live and work and enjoy their lives without commuting 30 miles a day. So those things will help a lot. The other big thing that we're embarking on right now is a comprehensive rezoning. So after the comprehensive plan, we go through a process of rezoning the city. Definitely part of that will contain things like buffers along waterfronts to make sure that we're not building infrastructure and buildings in places where they're very likely to be flooded. Because as much as we can do everything we can do to stave off climate change, I think at this point, it's pretty likely we're going to feel some impacts.
Oh,
pretty certain we're going to feel some impacts.
Understatement of the year.
I think the cities is the scale to be solving the climate change as well, right? These are the places where we set our housing policy, where we build our, we live our lives. And when we set up infrastructure in ways that allows people to reduce their impact, that's going to be really helpful. So for example, right now, early December is the time we find out about all the grants we applied for. So we've got our fingers crossed on a bunch of things, but one of the big ones that I'm hoping we get is we applied for a regional geothermal district in downtown Troy, which would be basically rather than having everyone drill their own geothermal site, we'd have one that's jointly drilled. And this is something they do in Europe already, where you either drill or run a line into the Hudson. That gets complicated because heat is a regulated pollutant. So mm-hmm. there's all sorts of question marks there. But certainly drill a field which would cool or heat glycol or a coolant to ground temperature and then allow that to be run into heating and cooling infrastructure throughout a whole region. And it makes the whole area way more efficient. I think that's the future of heating and cooling is heat pumps, basically.
Yeah.
And to the extent we can do that at a regional level and support, have a line coming into everyone's house like we do with natural gas right now. We should just be, rather than providing natural gas, we should be providing 62-degree glycol or 15, whatever. And that would allow people to have efficient heat pumps. Essentially what it does is you're moving heat rather than producing heat. So right now all of our heating systems either burn fossil fuels or use resistive electricity where you're literally just converting every watt of energy in
right
to heat. Whereas with heat pump, you are not producing heat. You're just moving it from the ground into your house. You get a little ways down and the ground's a pretty constant temperature.
Sure. Which is the basic principle behind this, right?
Exactly.
Okay.